kind of close the window.
Yeah, please go ahead. I just thought.
I'm asking.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
You're cold.
Yeah.
Welcome everyone. This is our annual meeting to talk about what happened last year, 2015, and what's going to happen this year, 2016, to honor our volunteers, to hear about membership, and to hear the financial report for 2015, and to talk about what's happening among us and going forward. So I want to hand out an agenda to everybody, and this, the times are not quite the same because they've been changed a couple times, so we're just going to proceed in this order of these topics, but not necessarily with the times. So if you pass in each direction, take one. I brought some tea for myself because I've been coughing like a fiend lately. So I have that cold that starts out very gently and just gets worse and worse and worse and worse as time goes on, even though you take care of yourself. So that's a strange thing. Two of our board members are not able to be here this evening. They're traveling. That's John, who's the secretary on the board, and Talis, who's the treasurer. But our former treasurer, Marty, is here to help us with the financial reports. So the first thing we just want to note on this page is the accomplishments that we did this year, and I'm just going to point out a few highlights. We completed our communications policy and procedures, and we elected two Sangha stewards who would be people to whom we can go if we have a conflict with another person, and that steward would help us to figure out what to do next and perhaps even facilitate a meeting if there should be one or needs to be one. The stewards are Kate and John, who's absent now today. So we're really happy with that, and these people got trained along with, these two got trained along with five others at the Conflict Resolution Center, and we will be doing practices of skills over the coming year. We signed a five-year lease for the building starting in October, so we have 5 years still here. And our subletter, Insight Meditation, signed a five-year lease with us, so they'll be here with helping us to support the cost of it. We changed to our software from multiple softwares to one that integrates better all of our needs for mailing and tracking data. And I don't know what all it does, but it seems to be improving our situation. We revised our building rental policies and procedures, and Scott has taken on the job, doing a masterful job on keeping track of and supporting our renter groups or community users, which we have about four or five right now, in addition to the Insight Meditation Group, which actually shares the building equally with us in time. And we built a new garden fence and gate, which came about because initially we were having some problems with people not belonging to our group, camping in the backyard, doing some vandalism, leaving drug paraphernalia and one or two weapons, that kind of thing. And so we, not guns, but knives. And we talked with the police about it, and they advised us to put up signs about this was private property for use of the Dharma Hall only, and perhaps to build a fence. And we ended up building a beautiful fence and Japanese gate that you may have or may not have seen, but I hope if you haven't, you'll take a look at it. And Bob's design and his construction with the help of Scott through the construction of it. So we thank both of them for that. the next points talk about horses and machines that we've had. And not on that list is not exactly an accomplishment, but it was the plumbing. And it's going to be an accomplishment by the time we get done with it, but we've had some pretty serious backups at the plumbing, and we've been looking into that. And we even had the sewer line videotaped all the way through to the alley, so we're going to be meeting as a board shortly to view that, and Bob and I it's going to be a thrilling video program.
We haven't chosen
a night yet to do that, but probably it's going to be after Wednesday soon. So we'll let you know if you'd like to come and
it's kind of like viewing the video of a colonoscopy.
Only it's not as clean.
You can double up with an intro to Zen Night.
I didn't know we were watching dirty movies here.
Zen's not dealing with your shit, man.
Add one point to that.
Sure.
So there was some question, and we have continuous more questions as well about who's responsible for what, but just to know that we did have to pay to have the drain unplugged, and that's normal. All rental agreements, the renter is responsible if the drain gets clogged, even in an apartment, because the idea is that the landlord has no way of knowing you're flushing down there, right? So that was the first assumption. We just got some stuff flushed down, and so we had to clear it. But then we had to clear it again, and it's become apparent it's a bigger problem than just our flushing stuff down there. So I just wanted to mention that. Because we had to put some money into it, and hopefully we won't put any more, but we shall see.
Yeah.
And just one of the, so the landlord has, based off the preliminary information, has taken the initiative to take down that little maple tree that has volunteered itself out there and put some root killer stuff down the drain. Because there were roots infiltrating it, and so that's basically a conservative initial approach.
Yeah. Part of the problem.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, not all of the problem. Bob will be able to narrate this exciting film.
Since we are a large group, Edie got some toilet paper that's like single ply toilet paper. And we have now little baskets beside the toilets. So if it's pee only, the paper goes in the basket.
Not to mince any words, thank you very much. So we have it.
Since the group is together, I should just, from my knowledge about it, I don't know if we've gotten this totally together, but we should have cans where tampons and napkins don't go down.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
we don't have
only toilet paper, and try to be sparing. The problem is that there's faults in the line where things get hung up. So any kind of stuff that's not just really simple, light duty stuff.
Good suggestion. We're going to talk about this a little more thoroughly later. But so if you have other ideas, that's what we'd like to hear. So now Ken is going to just go through a little bit about upcoming events for us. Ken is our vice president.
Thank you. So as most of you know, practice period is about to start, and that will be there'll be a study session between 6 and 6:45, and then rather than this regular service, there'll be 3 sitting sessions and 2 PM sessions, I believe. For a longer meditation session in the evenings. There's Introduction to Zen class Monday nights during February. And Chris has initiated simple sits for Sundays, sort of mini sessions in a way. And then Norman Fisher, our guiding teacher, will be here for a session as part of practice period on the March 10th through the 13th, which does require registration. So please register if you're interested in attending that. There will be public Dharma talks, I believe, that don't require registration. And Edie will be giving a gentle Zen retreat for the people, those of us who are becoming less and less able to sit still for any length of time. There is also going to be a precept study class, which is aimed at several members who are studying for to lead to Jukai, but also for anybody interested, which will be in addition and beginning after study period. And again, Edie's already mentioned the fact that there will be some practice sessions on the Sangha based on the conflict resolution. And finally, there's the yearly Samish Shishin, and the dates are on your are on the agenda, which is also obviously a registration requirement. So if you would like to go, that's for either full or half attendance, and that you need to register on the website. So, and other than that, we're going to conquer the toilets, and I think that's our plan for the year.
Tim, do you want to say anything about the study group that's going to be at 6 every Wednesday night?
Yeah, so
practice period.
So the practice period is both sort of one sort of holistic thing, and we would love for you to go online between now and next week if you want to participate in this in some way. And it's a time of sort of intensive practice and the community coming together. And so not only are there a few more events, but also we just you know, sort of concentrate ourselves a little more and make some deliberate choices about how we're practicing during the 6-week period that starts next week. And so one of the central elements is a weekly study group on Zen pioneers. We've selected 6 different teachers who were involved one way or the other in the establishment and development of Zen in North America. And so there'll be a reader for that, and you know, it's best to come every week if you can, and there'll be a reading before each week. Similar to what we did last year with Shanti Devas, a great text by Madhvacharya Bhattara. And then another element is this Monday night Intro to Zen class. You know, it'll be interesting, I think, even if you practice for quite some time. And in the middle of there is an extra sit on Sunday with Chris, hosted by Chris on the 21st of February, and the whole thing culminates in this Sishin with Norman and myself. But you know, it's not just sort of a pile of events, though. Hopefully, you can sort of think about, well, how do I want to sort of orient myself in my life for these 6 weeks? And having more meditation on Wednesday evenings also means we'll be able to give quite a bit more access for private interviews, both with myself, Doksan, which is a little bit more formal one, and with everyone else who is all of our other practice leaders who have been Chuseo, Bob, Edie, Talis, who am I forgetting? Chris. I'm missing one. Sean.
Yeah.
Nancy, she's here. So there's more opportunities for sort of reflecting with somebody. What am I doing? How am I practicing? Which is like a way of saying, how am I living? And then similarly, it's a great time to be in touch with each other, you know what I mean? To touch in with peers. Like if you've been sort of meaning to have coffee or a beer with somebody for quite a while, that might be a time to say, let's do it during practice period. You know, we can start out talking about practice at least. So anyway, that's the idea of practice period. It actually comes from a very old tradition in Buddhism that mostly the Buddha's early disciples were sort of somewhat continuously in motion. They'd stay by the outskirts of a town for a day or two or a week and move on to the next town. And a lot of the practice, really, I think, must have been walking, you know, walking down these dusty roads. But they had a very intense monsoon season in the summer, and you can't walk too much. You can't get around very well. So they would settle down and have a rains retreat, it was called. So this is the Zen echo of the rains retreat from 2,500 years ago in Bellingham, Washington in 2016. So, cool, huh?
Does anyone have any questions about the upcoming events?
And it says for precept study class, speak to teacher, speak to...
So, yeah, anyone is welcome to come to this, and the whole schedule will be published soon. It's one Monday evening a month, and it moves around a little bit, mostly the first Monday of the month. So we're all welcome to come. It's better to come to several, you know, or most of the sessions, because it'll be a sort of curriculum going forward. And if you're interested in being a part of this year's cohort of people, it's a couple of people so far, who are also with this precept study preparing to formally receive the precepts in the Jukai ceremony, which is a great thing to do if it suits you, and it suits you now, you know, very supportive, but is not at all required, and, you know, no one needs to do this to practice here. And so is that, Clara, you know, so.
Yeah, but it's open to people who have.
It's open to everybody, yeah, it's open to everybody, yeah, absolutely. Tell me, everybody, if you're interested in Jukai, then what, it's a great focus to talk to me or one of the practice leaders sooner than later to say, well, I am interested in Jukai, so maybe I should do the, you know, study group from the beginning, and we'll see how it goes from there.
Would Saturdays after Zazen and be a good time to sew, or?
Yes, and part of this process is actually physically sewing this garment, so, and Chris is our most wonderful supportive sewer. Yeah, thank you. You know what they did in Seattle? We'll talk later, but you know what they did in Seattle? They actually had a sewing machine. Valerie came up and they sewed like 10 hours a day for 3 days straight or something like that. I don't know if they still have fingers.
Okay, so Tim, would you go on to do our volunteer recognition, and we'll also talk about some needs.
Yes. So we're like a 99.9% volunteer organization.
Excuse me, and on the back of your agenda is a list of...
You know, I receive a small stipend, and occasionally a more technical job, we hire out. But pretty much everything, including the physical construction of this room, has been done by volunteers. You know, maybe it's almost all done by volunteers. There's a big list of volunteers here. And I want to especially highlight the volunteer who created the list of volunteers, who is Edie, who's just been a tremendously efficient,
hyper-volunteer.
She's been our board president this year, and we hope we'll live long enough to complete her term. Working hard.
No guarantees.
So we have three significant decision-making bodies. There are multiple committees and stuff, but the board is one, so he is the board president and is overseeing especially the business and organization and money and budget and so on of the Sangha. And another is the practice committee, formed of our elders, people in practice for a long time. And then the finance committee is also a very active and decision-making strong committee. So here's a long list of people, which we appreciate so much. Let's read all this? Yeah. Don McClary appears from nowhere whenever there's a maintenance need, and then he disappears again, so he's not here because that's how he does it. He's like Mercury. Scott, however, you can't miss because he's here. And Bob and Scott together created that incredible fence and garden. And Bob was there in both capacities as a professional carpenter and a Sangha member. Ann Mickelson goes to the store for us and why there's supplies here. And Edie has worked with Scott to really create and clarify this building rental manager position. And let me explain that a little bit. That's for all the people who, the other groups who use the hall either weekly or on a one-time basis. And oddly enough, the other group that I'm involved with rents from Scott. So then this is a minor source of income. When we first put the building together, we thought there would be tremendous amounts of yoga classes and all kinds of stuff happening. So it's been a little more moderate than we first thought, but there are groups here regularly 3 nights a week besides the 2 primary meditation groups. And an additional Wednesday morning meditation group. So yeah, we have several groups that meet here and pass the hat or pay a little bit of rent. And that requires tracking. And for a long period there, we had very minimal tracking, but now...
We still have very minimal tracking.
Yeah,
it's getting better.
But we have a tracker that makes good jokes. So you know, if you know of a group who might be interested in using this place in a compatible way, there's a little capacity in the schedule, not a huge amount. don't know if you've really checked out our library, but it's like a professional quality little Buddhist library where almost all the books have been donated and all the laborers volunteer, and the entire catalog is online. And Chris Burkhardt has been a tremendous person there, helped now by Scott and Chris, and previously helped quite a bit by. Did you know that? Yeah. And there you go.
Yeah. Did you know I had to help him?
It's
now
great.
Now you know. I've been waiting eagerly for your call.
Subtle help. But before that, we went on. Now it's primarily members of the Zen community who are taking over the library, but for most of the years before that,
actually,
it was members of the BIMS.
Actually, there's three
community.
Folks from BIMS
who
are very
are
actively
now?
Help.
Who are they now?
In the library.
Mm-hmm. What,
yeah.
Numbers. What are their names?
You know, if I hadn't fallen on my head, I could tell you.
but they do exist.
They do a great job. I don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
I think one of them is Linda. Yeah. Linda, who used to be the treasury.
Oh,
you know that one?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah,
every year we
in our heads, I'm here to help.
So it's a great library and really is useful. You know, you can really use the library for study and check books out. And it's wonderfully open. That's kind of was our original idea with the library. Anybody can check out books. So that's great. Every year we, in addition to our ongoing program of being supported by our membership, and we'll see the financial report later, but over the years our support has increased to be more and more membership-based. But additionally, we have every year an annual appeal, usually targeted at some special project or need, and Ken leads that effort, and this year Diane Latona and Jonathan Riopelle were the wordsmiths that helped us make it a beautiful message to the Sangha. Hung around a little bit. And the finances, actually, it may be some of the hardest working volunteers, and it's an ongoing thing, and it's high stakes, right? A lot of the other stuff, like, you know, of course we like our Zendo to be beautiful and organized and everything in its place and everything, but there are no actual consequences from the outside world if the altar is dirty or the books aren't shelved. But if the bills aren't paid, there is, in fact, problems, you know? So this really matters, and so we, Marty has been in one way or the other involved in this, since you came, probably, you know,
lifetime.
10, 12 years.
Lifetime.
Maybe, 12 years at least, you know, as in various roles, and she's most recently in the treasurer role and is moving out of that, but continuing to be very involved. We hired a part-time bookkeeper, Amy Bruce, who's now stepping out of that position, so that's one of our needs. We're looking for a bookkeeper, and it's a role that's kind of gone back and forth between volunteer and hired, and Marty and Talis are now going to work with some diligence to organize it in a way that it's more volunteer accessible. So if you've got a head for numbers and want to help the Sangha in a really vital way, talk to Marty later to get a sense of what's involved. The whole system is so organized. I mean, you know, if you just come and sit, you wouldn't know. You know, mail comes and bills get paid and phone calls happen, you know what I mean? Books have to be handled, taxes have to be dealt with. So when the mail comes in, our clerk, Deb Wiebe, gets it from the various boxes and sorts it and sends a message and puts it different places in the office. And then our gatekeeper, John McWiley, if I understand this correctly, records money and what goes where, and I don't even totally understand it, but it works very well.
Writes checks.
And writes the checks, yeah. And if you have incur a Sangha expense for which you'd like to be reimbursed and fill out the reimbursement form, John's your man to help you there. So I really want to honor the hard, it's not just, I don't know, hard, easy, but the steady and smart work of our financial work group. And they could use support with the bookkeeper and any other stuff too if you're interested. But as I said, most of our ongoing income is from the small to medium pledges, a few cases significant pledges, thank you so much, of our members. And currently we have how many members, more or less?
I'm going to share that in the membership.
Okay, I won't steal your thunder then. Terry is heading this group, Dylan, and again, Jonathan are helping him keep that sorted. And then the biggest group here, but it's, you know, people roll in and out in various ways here. The group that actually runs, that takes care of the programs, and we can always use short-term or long-term help there, the Zendo and Programs Committee. The head of the Zendo is called the Eno. I'm not sure what that character means. Anyone know what Eno actually means?
No, I don't know.
But we know what happens for the Eno. The Eno is here with incredible fidelity, following the schedule, and being a leader with her body, just being here, and keeping an eye on what happens in the Zendo and with the programs that happen in the Zendo, and most importantly, anticipating what's going to happen, and in many cases, needing to be on my case to get what they need. So Kate did this for 3 years, I think, and did a lovely job, a really great job.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what I'm really happy about is we have some significant roles, like the bookkeeper, you know, and we've actually, it took us about a decade to learn how to do this, but we actually now know how to rotate people out. So you're not, it's not a life sentence. It used to be. But now we actually can rotate people out and rotate people in. And the positions are being more and more defined and more stuff's being written down. And part of the technology redo that he mentioned is making absolutely all the information just right there on our main website. So if you haven't poked around on the business tab, you should. There's, you know, about 300. Chris transferred these by hand. So there's about 300, she can tell you. Different pages with all kinds of information and history and minutes and job descriptions and a treasure trove of information that the Eno oversees. All this is amazing. And then when free retreats happen, a lot of the organizational details beyond the Zendo are handled by the retreat manager. Edie has done this, I have done this, and many people have done this. Talis has volunteered to do this for an entire 2016 year, so deep gratitude to Talis for taking that on. And then people from outside or even inside who want to come to our retreats for which we require registration, we're pretty much the ones that we incur a significant cost for, so we need people to help pay for it with registration. Just like with the water bill where they expect to be paid, when people send us money and sign up, they like to know that somebody actually noticed that they signed up and will help them if they need something. A lot of it happens pretty automatically, but people do need some support. And so we have a registrar, and this is one that does seem like we need somebody to stay in it for a little while, a year or two. So Kevin did that for a year and a half, 2 years, and now Thomas is taking care of that. And the technology change we made also is very helpful for the registrar. Mm-hmm. Our new system has a good retreat event management deal. Bob Rose is our Tenzo, and we've had other great Tenzos. I think all of those great Tenzos will agree that Bob is a fabulous Tenzo. You know, relaxed and good-humored and just able to put up delicious food. And really, Bob's been studying very carefully what does it mean for cooking to be practice. Because that's a central kind of idea in Dogen's thought and in Soto Zen that everything is practice, you know, that meditation is not the only thing, you know. So the work in the kitchen is practice, and Bob's doing a great job making that so. Bob also, by the way, was instrumental in creating the new Han there. That's a slab of wood he found somewhere. You know, I think his friends up Skagit Valley who make guitar tops had that laying around. And then another friend who builds boats, drill the holes, and Bob knows many people, so he's able to get all that done. I did the calligraphy. The taking care of the altars has happened mostly through the wonderful efforts of Karen McMains, who's here, and Kate. And oftentimes it's just a soji job, a temple cleaning job on Saturday mornings, you have to take care of them. And there may be some changes to that job, and that's another topic maybe for another day, but we will need to change the way we do offerings. The tradition is to burn things, incense of various kinds. When you burn things, there's smoke, and it turns out our lungs are designed to breathe air, not smoke. And so we're going to have to change that because it's not good for us to breathe smoke anymore. And then once in a while, you know, and all of us who can tolerate have the good fortune of not breathing smoke because some new members can't breathe smoke at all. You know. Yeah.
And if you look at the ceiling above the altar, QED.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna miss it though. It's a sad, yeah. Little sad. Yeah. You know, it's a beautiful and a traditional practice, and I always, when I think about that we have to let it go, I always think about, there's a wonderful line in Dogen about watching incense smoke at his mother's funeral when he was 9 years old.
Right.
That was a turning moment for him to see how temporary and fleeting life is. You know, everything is, including incense offering. Everything is fleeting and changing. Flowers, we have wonderful flowers. Have you noticed this? There's just all these beautiful flowers here. It's like, you know, it doesn't just happen, you know? So Elizabeth Cardarelli took care of this for some years, I think a couple of years, and now Colette Riopel is taking care of that beautifully. We mentioned Chris earlier in sewing, and Dave Lynch is on the list. Dave really takes care of and makes sure that there's Saturday morning practice. So come once in a while, and keep helping out, and keep him coming. Not every time, I understand it's a really Saturday, but come once in a while. It's a beautiful practice, so quiet. And you can count on Dave. You know, it starts at 6, right? And you're like, I've got 6. I think Dave probably would be too embarrassed if I shared when he gets here. You know when he gets here? 5. Make sure it's plenty of time and make super sure everything is just so. So, you're already an hour late.
Can I add something?
Yes.
Jiren is going to be assistant, you know, so that's going to be... That's something I did just a little bit of with Kate, and Jaren's going to be doing the whole work with me.
So Jaren's going to support the, you know. And we're trying also these more significant roles. That's another Sandra goal, is to have job sharing and, you know, co-leading and assistance. And, you know, because we're doing this in the middle of our lives. We get that, you know. So it's not possible to do every single thing and dot every T and cross every I. I said that wrong on purpose, because that's how life is, right? So we need help, and so we're trying to have these roles be where you can count on support. You know, I'm sick, and you know who's going to help. There's a list here of who's currently on the board. I think that you've already heard. Edie has president, the vice president. Earlier this year, Chris started out in that role, and then I had to step away, which we totally honor. It was in the end a good choice. And Ken has stepped into that role. Thank you, Ken. And actually, there should be 2 names on treasurer. Mark started out, it's a transitional. Marty was taking care of that, and now Talis is stepping in. Just for the year, though, we're looking for a new treasurer for next year.
And Ann is going to be the.
Oh, right, Ann. Yeah, we have another name. It should be like 3 names.
Treasurers of Ann Apprentice.
Yeah, Ann.
Nicholson
will take over as treasurer. And that's great, because it turns out Ann, I don't know if you've met her yet, but. She's going to be able to come more soon. She went through some health crises last year. She's run multiple businesses and knows what she's doing, so it's going to be great. John Wiley's been our secretary for a couple of years, and the secretary is a pivotal role, and this connects to some other Sangha business, because we don't always do everything perfectly on time. That's really true. You know, we're flexible. But one thing we do perfectly on time, very, very consistently, is our board secretary does accurate, brief, readable, clear minutes, and they are put on the website, and you get an announcement in the email. So if you're interested in the business that the board is overseeing, the secretary makes that completely possible to really, really know exactly what's going on month after month.
Yeah, I think.
And the board is steady as can be to a meeting pretty much every month. So.
And the secretary sends an announcement to all members with a link to the minutes, so it's really easy to get to them.
Yeah.
You don't have to do anything.
Yeah, and if you lose track of the email, you can just go to business, minutes, board minutes. So it's all pretty clear. So that's great. So I really appreciate John and for doing that.
You didn't mention the technology committee.
I'm getting there. I didn't. I will, though. And I'm on the bottom of the list there, on the top of the other list. So we had quite an effort this last year. Our technology work group is, they're all sort of fluid. Like, we really came together for a while this year to convert all of our software to this system, a platform called Wild Apricot. We don't know why they called it that. But it's an integrated system for nonprofits that does our website, our email, broadcast emailing, our membership lists, our contact management, tracks donations, does everything. well, it takes in donations, it doesn't do the bookkeeping part. And it's pretty reasonably, I don't know if I should say easy, like all technology is not easy somehow, but reasonably easy to use, to make changes to the website, to, oh, it tracks events. But what's cool is that it's all in one place, and we've done a couple of trainings. Terry and I have done a couple of trainings, and we'll try to get back on the shtick and do a few more trainings, because it'd be great if many of us were comfortable going in there, and, you know, so that when you see something on the website or on the events that it's a mistake or isn't right, which is going to happen, you know, we can work together to take care of it. And so Terry helped with that, Talis, Kevin Connor helped with that, Don Price, Chris isn't on this list, but she did a huge amount of work on the wild apricot conversion. And there's probably a few other people who did a bunch of work on this. Thomas did a bunch. So that's my list. Let me think if I had any other volunteers. I think I did have somebody else in my mind. But that's a lot, you know?
It is.
And it's workable if we are organized and, you know, again, we rotate in and we rotate out again. So part of your work as a volunteer also is to be really willing and cheerful saying, okay, I'm done now, you know. Thank you very much. I'm going to do something else. I'm going to just sit for a while. So that's an important part of us. I just want to mention that. You know, you come in, you do the work, you're clear about it, you want to get help, and you're done. Questions or other things I forgot?
Just thought you might want to emphasize that if watching the sewage video is enough of an enticement for joining the board, that John is rotating off.
And thank you, yeah.
We need an interested secretary volunteer.
Yeah, and that's a fairly immediate need. He's going to rotate out in March, and he's really taking that advice as he gets to hand. He's not going to like stick around if there's no new secretary. You know, so.
Yeah, he's been doing it for 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
So,
yeah,
you know, that's a good amount
of time.
Yeah. So if you yourself would be interested, or you would like to nominate somebody who you think would be good, please step forward and tell one of us.
And a lot of little things happen. The other thing is, like, there's all this organization and definition and job descriptions and whatnot, but the other thing I really love is that so much happens around here just by seeing something that needs to be done and doing it. You know, you know, we can't track all those volunteer showers exactly, so I want to thank every one of us, you know, everyone who's not here, for just that level of, like, oh, look, there's something that can be cleaned, fixed, taken care of. Let's take care of it. And that's wonderful. If you're not sure how to do that, you can ask me.
Connie? Thank you. Connie?
I just wanted to add a thank you to the people who sign up every Wednesday for the jobs.
That's another volunteer job, yeah.
You know, ringing the bells, doing, reading the chants, being taken. It's been a lot of the same people who do it all the time, so if anyone would like training in a job that they haven't done before, let me know. It's very rewarding to do those jobs. It's a feeling of taking care of the Sangha. So thank you to the people who have been doing that.
I want to say a couple more things about needs. Board secretary, we've noticed. Bookkeeper, we are going to be writing up a job description of that shortly and putting that out to the Sangha. And we have in mind, what we would like is to have somebody who's part of the Sangha do that, and it would have a stipend with it. And it's about a 6 to 10 hour job a month, I think. So we will be describing that, and we're going to look at some software that might make it a little easier, and you wouldn't have to have an accounting background to do that, but more information will be forthcoming about that. Another role that is important and doesn't take up very much time is the supplies buyer, and Nicholson has been doing that this past year or so, and she's going to be moving into the assistant treasurer role, and so we need to get somebody else to do the supply buying, and mostly the supply buying is going and buying in bulk someplace, toilet paper and other, you know, cleaning materials and liquid stuff, you know, that kind of thing. So it's kind of, you probably pretty much have to have a car, and you have to have some freedom to once every couple of months look at what's needed and go and buy it and bring it, and then that's reimbursed to you. So if you have an interest in that, please speak up, because that we want to transition that one shortly. We also have a need for regular attention to the back garden. We've done a sporadic attention to it, but we really need somebody who is interested in keeping it well groomed through the seasons. And now that we have a beautiful gate and fence there, we want to make the garden compatible with the beauty of the fence and a gate. So if you're interested in that, please speak up, and I will also be contacting people who put down gardening as one of their interests.
I'm going to volunteer to sort of coordinate that.
Oh, are you? Oh, great.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
This garden is Bob's design, and it is a beautiful design, and the little plants are living there now are kind of
we had a hard
not making it right
now.
Winter's a hard time for everyone, but that's wonderful. So please speak to Bob too about being potentially a garden volunteer.
Oh, and then let me add one thing. Another way that you can plug in without making an ongoing commitment is we now have quarterly work Sangha work days, and so the next one's the first Saturday of April, which will be a fabulous time to do a whole bunch on the garden.
Yeah,
and not only so. Fall, winter, and spring, work day, and then we're going to have a work weekend, like a work weekend Sangha celebration the first weekend of July. So that can be like an alternate July 4th celebration for the Sangha. So just to put that out there too. But and then that's, you just show up and help. It's great.
Okay, thanks. So Terry, tell us about membership.
Yeah, well, I've got a handout. Make sure to keep one for myself so I know what I'm talking about. I didn't answer your question, Tim, how many members do we have, because it's complicated.
Wait till we get some. Okay.
The membership committee, or the membership work group, is myself and Dylan and Jonathan. And our role essentially is to maintain a membership list. So we try to stay on top of who's a current member, who has moved away, who's new, because we're constantly getting new membership applications and new membership forms submitted. And so the number seems to be 56. So that's the simple answer. But there are a few of those that we haven't seen in a while and haven't paid their dues in a while. And at least a couple that we know have moved away. And so we're not sure whether they are planning to continue as members remotely. So these are the kind of things that the membership work group tries to track. So right now there are 48 people that we are sure about. So that's the conservative number. We have 48, but potentially 56, and we're actively reaching out to these other folks. At some point during the year, we have had 62. So that was, if you count everybody who has sort of come in, and people have left, and it just sort of ebbs and flows. But there have been 62 members during the year, including 11 new members. A couple of those just submitted forms and then didn't submit payments, and later learned that they had moved away or joined Insight or one of the other meditation groups. So again, it's very, very dynamic, but it's exciting to see 11 new members. There's one anonymous member, and one of the benefits of membership is that you get you get our mailings by email, and so on a fairly regular basis we send out announcements and so forth to members. And if you are a member at the $35 level through through WeQ, and you're not getting mail, then come and see us.
Because you've won.
You get a free coffee cup.
Because we have racked our brains, and everybody is accounted for that has submitted a membership form, but there's somebody that, since April, has been contributing $35 a month, and we have no idea who that is.
So pass that along to your friends here.
Total income, and Marty's actually going to do the financials, and she and I over the last few days have been trying to get in sync, and so hopefully this is ballpark.
It's not.
No?
Did you put the friends in there?
Yeah, friends are in here.
Okay.
So
Jerry's calling members and friends, and I'm not. So
yeah,
if you notice
so
the discrepancy, that's fine.
Slightly different accounting methods. But
we're gonna go to calling everybody members, right?
Okay.
In 2016.
That's
is that right.
Yeah, you're the only one that's calling them friends now.
Okay.
We don't know.
So we're just going to mesh those two systems?
Yeah,
Wild. We did that because when we switched to Wild Apricot, there really was no sort of friends category that we could use, and so it just made sense to keep everybody together.
I see. That was a little confusing.
So, but $19,305 have come in through membership dues. So new members by month, and this is really interesting because historically we have done a membership drive at the start of the year. So January, February, we encourage people to join, and we did this last year. And I think January, February were the only 2 months where we had no new members. So people join when they join. You get new people who come and they get excited by what's going on here and they join at that point. And so that's got us rethinking the membership drive. And a couple Wednesdays ago, I made an announcement that this was the membership drive now, prompted by Edie, but I was convinced that she was right. But in fact, we aren't in the middle of a membership drive, and so just ignore the fact that I said that. That we and the board has signed off on this. We are rethinking, given this data, the purpose of the membership drive, and would like to put some distance between the fundraising drive that happens at the end of the year, wait a few months, and then maybe do something else, but we're not sure exactly what. So if you have thoughts about how to attract new members, how to get existing members to sort of think about their level of commitment, or sign on kind of fresh and with new just sort of thinking about their relationship to the Sangha. If you'd like to have some input into that, then the membership, this is the kind of thing the membership group does, and so let me know, and we'd love to have you on board if you have some creative ideas or just want to think with us about what a new membership drive middle of the year might actually look like. So some other data, while I was crunching numbers, I just kind of went crazy and did all sorts of things. People pay either monthly or annually, and just the breakdown is that most people are paying monthly, 43, but there are a few that make one annual payment. Those that make an annual payment do so at various times, and I know that some have told me that that's intentional. They specifically make all their donations at a particular time of year.
Sure.
And others, it's the anniversary of when they joined, and so 1 year after their anniversary, they submit another annual payment. So there are good reasons why this is staggered. But I suspect it makes budgeting kind of challenging, but you really have to sort of be aware of what's coming in when, and expect that it's going to be the same as it was last year, and that might not necessarily be the case. So I don't know what to do with that, but that's just interesting information to kind of contemplate.
I think you need to be perpetually the membership chair. Because it's in your head.
Yeah, well, so that, as I mean, and us working with finance and with, you know, anybody who's making budget decisions, I think just being aware of, you know, when we expect the money to come in, and maybe even looking at trends over years to know which of those annual payments are reliable, you know, that we really do expect that this payment is going to come in July, you know, and so there's some payments that you can count on, and some, you know, maybe you're a little bit more fuzzy. So payment method, this is interesting as a technology person myself, and a person who uses the PayPal recurring. There still, the majority of people are paying by check or cash, so it's 36.5%. WeQ, PayPal recurring, some people pay by PayPal but not recurring, they manually triggered those payments. A couple people are paying by bill pay, and there a couple people have come and gone, and I'm not sure what their method of payment was, but they're not members any longer. So the monthly payment reliability is also interesting in that the, and fairly obviously, people who are paying through some automated method like WeQ or PayPal recurring, those actually, I think those figures are probably 100%. They're upper 90s.
You know, a couple times PayPal's just dropped off and stopped doing the recurring thing. And it just, and then you can't get it to start again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So there's some glitches that might account for that.
Yeah, and so there, I think your numbers here are accurate, because okay. I've had a couple times where my recurring payment didn't come out, and then I went on to PayPal to try to restart it, and they said, well, you know, you got to talk to Red Cedar, and then you go to Red Cedar and couldn't start it. Just there's something weird that happens occasionally.
Same thing happened to me, and that's why I went to Annual.
Yeah.
Also, more embarrassingly, not every month does one's bank account have the money in it to even if it's only $15.
Which might be a good reason to not do the referring.
Well,
yeah.
Then I'd have to remember to do it every month.
Yeah, and so this is
it's the devil one way or the other.
This is the as we look down at the next breakdown, the weakness in reliability comes from the check or cash team.
who are the larger share?
It's the largest group, but it's hard for, you know, people don't remember, or they don't have money in their bank account. Whatever, you know, if people are just sort of, you know, wanting to drop it off when they come, you know, to the Dharma Hall, and they just don't make it that month. Lots of reasons why this drops off.
Can I make a suggestion? Being one of the worst offenders. having pay stubs, having like 12 pay stubs. You make them yourself, I suppose. You know, it wouldn't be the hardest thing to do. But if, you know, most people have some method of paying the bills, a stack of bills or something. You know, and that's what reminds me. Oh, I gotta pay this thing. It's sitting here. And I don't have anything like that for this. Yeah. So, you know, the Dharma Hall could issue that as a little thing, you know. But that way you have a reminder every month in your pile of... This is for those people who write checks for bills.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've learned to time my automated payments so that they go out at the, you know, after a paycheck has gone into my account. But could Wild Apricot generate a... payment failed or payment missed automated email to the person who missed it? Is that complicated to set up?
It actually could. And this is a feature of Wild Apricot that we have chosen not to use. And it's actually good to hear this feedback, because maybe I've been under the impression that it was a little bit too invasive.
Pushy.
It would send out an email anytime somebody's a little bit late. And it just felt like too much of a business sort of approach as opposed to you know, Sangha. But maybe people wouldn't be annoyed by it.
Maybe we should
it's funny because I do it automated the same way you do, and I have the same opinion as you have, and the guys who are not automated think that it wouldn't be that bad of an idea. So maybe don't send the automatic reminders to the automated people.
Well, they're on.
They're automated. They shouldn't need it. But,
yeah.
But that's, I mean, it's funny that it's almost, that there's that mismatch.
Or if they fall too behind. Is there a way to set the filter? So I don't know.
Well, so we're doing that manually now. If somebody falls, you know, a couple months behind, then the membership committee reaches out to them and kind of plays the collection role, you know, which is a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. But just to touch base and, you know, remind people that we're kind of dependent on that money coming in.
Threaten to repossess their car.
Yeah.
we could ask people if they would like to have a monthly reminder.
Yeah.
Is that possible to do with, well, no, okay, selective?
That might be tricky.
Yeah, let's put our heads together.
We could create a group, and each month, like the first of the month, we send out an email.
Can I share a thought? It feels like kind of putting more work on a volunteer than you could set up your own app to remind yourself, honestly. I mean, it's creating work for Terry, right? Mm. And if you have a cell phone or something, you could create your own
little reminder.
I mean, it could get complicated to think of, well, who would want one and who wouldn't. That's my thought.
My initial starting of this discussion was simply a thought to myself, which is to create little pay stubs to put in my bill pile. So, because I tend to look at that bill pile, go through it and pay the things, and I'm done. Mm-hmm. And you know, oh, there's a couple other things I gotta pay that I don't have something there to that's reminding me. You know, mm-hmm. And then,
so maybe we can have a class on how to
do it. It's a simple thing, you know, to do something.
Gentle
like
bill pay.
I think it would be good to probably for the tech/membership committee to think about, to rethink whether we can use Wild Apricot, because this is one area where we are still using a Google Sheet to track members, just because we didn't like the way Wild Apricot was handling membership. And so, but it would be nice if everything truly was in one application, and you know, maybe we can tweak it so that it, you know, isn't as invasive as, you know, it could be, or that, you know, people that don't want it can opt out, that kind of thing.
How far back do you keep this type of record?
When I took over, Edie had a Google Sheet, and so we've got three years.
Probably more, yeah.
That's
probably
probably
four or five.
The reason I ask is it's almost like a climate study. You know, if people tend to do the same thing that works for them again and again, and I'm just thinking, would there be, if you took a look at the past 2 years, would there be a correlation with income coming in from these sources? Because if the same people are members and they're paying about the same way, you know, you might be able to say, well, June is going to be a lousy month, where our average for that month is, you know, such and such, and make an estimate based on that.
Mm-hmm. It's
a big spreadsheet,
together.
But
yeah.
You know, I mean, for a numbers walk, that would be a pretty hot deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
We need to move along so we can get through our. Do you have any final remarks?
Yeah, just the one final thing here is this list of groups, work groups, and the number of people that signed up expressing interest in those groups when they filled out their membership form. And if you do the math and compare this with the list of volunteers, there's quite a discrepancy. So we get, for example, 19 people signed up for the Zendone Programs work group and 14 for the Garden work group. So I think tapping into that and using, you know, looking at who has signed up within Wild Apricot and making sure that those folks are engaged, that'll help us to keep new members, I think, because they want to be involved, and we need to make sure that we're providing, you know, the opportunities that they're requesting. So I think there might be some people that could be on this list that
mm-hmm.
aren't.
It's,
Now, our work groups have sort of leaders, right? For each work group is sort of a head person. So
right.
It seems like it would really be great if a member fills out a form that you, part of the whole membership process would be at some point that piece of information, the membership committee forwards an email to the head of whatever work group saying so-and-so just became a member and they're interested in this work group. So
right.
That person then has that information, has that person's contact information and knows. Otherwise, they just don't know.
That should be available on the site. Right?
It is. So that's where the Well Epcot training comes in, too. People can log in and they can switch. You know, they can check new boxes or uncheck other boxes. And so the membership doesn't necessarily know that. But the leader of each group can check Wild Apricot and can just see who's in their group currently.
Oh, okay.
I became a member back in September, and I remember filling out on the form interest in library work group and I think the gardens work group. But I didn't know whether I was signing up to be in those work groups or just expressing interest in being in those work groups. So clarity about what exactly I was doing by putting my name on those lists would have been helpful. And then I don't think I got any follow-up contact about those. So seeing my name here today on the library work group is my first confirmation that I'm actually in that work group.
I've heard that you had received training.
I'm sorry?
I've heard that you've received training.
It must have happened in my sleep.
Okay. Yeah, that was my mistake then. And I'd really much rather have you in the garden group because we need people.
Okay. we can talk.
Yeah. Is it real critical? Because we do need to move. Okay. Marty, would you tell us about the financial stuff? And pass these around.
Yeah.
Too. Okay. Have you got...
So Edie kindly made copies of...
Can we pass it this way as well?
Oh, sure. Can I have half of those questions? Mm-hmm. I'll just go the other way, too.
Thanks.
Good thinking.
Thank you.
So on one sheet here is the balance sheet at the end of the year, meaning what Red Cedar has in bank accounts, basically. And then the other side is how much income came in and what expenses went out, and the net of it. So the net income, as you can see, was about $6,700. And percentage-wise, as a part of the income that came in, which is called the margin percentage, if you're a business, was about 6%, which was about the same as last year. So I would say that the major changes in income and expenses were in the retreat income and expenses. For example, our membership and donations together were about the same amount. Membership went up a little bit, donations went down. But registration income for our retreats went up a significant, partly largely due to a large Samish, I think. So that doesn't show there, that just shows a total, but...
Samish usually drives a big chunk of our income, doesn't
it?
Well, less than it used to, because then you need to also look at the retreat expense.
Right, right. So there's a net there. Yeah, exactly. If I was looking a little bit closer at the numbers, and I actually put friends in Red Cedar Dharma Hall donation, so it's a little different than what Terry does. So next year we'll be together, but...
And on the rental income, most of that is from insight meditation.
Right.
But the numbers for the small group rentals, Scott has, that total was bigger this year than last year.
Yeah, it was about $4,500.
Yeah.
$4,500 for the year from the littler groups?
For the smaller groups, yeah.
Which is great, which is at least
that's
double.
Great.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed was if you took out the net of the retreat income, which is about $14,500 or so, That's the net, you know, after expenses. If you took that out, we'd actually be in the hole, right? So it actually helps cover some of our expenses and then allows us to have some savings, you know, something to put away. The fact that we do retreats, does that make sense? So if we took that away, we actually aren't covering our expenses with
membership.
With membership and the rental that we, right? We'd actually be about 8,000 in the hole, right? So just something to realize that all the work that people do to put on retreats actually helps us support the Zendo and everything. So anyway.
And our lease for last year, our inside group was paying less than half of that.
Right. They've upped,
yeah,
right,
they've
but
upped
they're
for
paying.
This year, yeah. And the furnishings and equipment includes the fence.
That's in large part, right, the fence, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the building improvements are, is that the library finishing?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Finishing the library, right. Administrative is, about half of that is the bookkeeper. And then our website and technology went up quite a bit with Wild Apricot. I can't remember how many years that paid for. Was that more than
2 years?
One?
Yeah,
two?
We prepaid 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Well, it's wonderful to have net income.
Yeah.
That's a surprise. Actually.
Yeah,
because it just went that
six,
way in the third quarter.
So, yeah.
And the crazy thing is that that's been true every year. Every single year.
Well, that's where
more of them, not exactly that margin, but somewhere around there, you know, we're a little
yeah.
ahead every year.
That's where the savings account the
yeah, that's
account.
Why we have this.
All of that money on the other side of the sheet there, that's all just basically accumulated.
Yeah.
Right.
A thousand or two or three or four every year.
Right.
So
yeah.
Good job.
It's a miracle.
Yeah. Any other questions about that?
We have $100,000 operation here. Okay, so.
Hmm.
Yeah.
If we can move on to something that's related to this, during, I guess it was last week, or if we found on our bulletin board and scattered around in the building some questions that somebody has sent forth to us anonymously, and they are good questions about, legitimate questions about how we conduct our business, and so we thought we would read those and give whatever answers we can and discuss them and take any further input on them. The first question was, how much did the garden cost Red Cedar? And I didn't myself have time to research this, but I know that initially Al Bors, who is the son of the landlord, had a couple of fundraisers to create, because this garden was chiefly his idea. And so we got a couple, 2,000 or 3,000 from those fundraisers, and we did add things as we went along. But do you have any better recollection?
This is very rough numbers, but let's say the whole entire garden project's roughly 5,000.
Yeah,
maybe.
That was about, it was,
yeah.
That's about right.
And I would say about three of that was from fundraisers and targeted donations. Like
that's
one,
about right.
One
yeah.
member gave a specific donation, I remember, $1,500
yeah.
on the garden cut stall. So it's largely, I mean, it's involved some general funds, but it's largely been a special project funded
yeah.
by people who are passionate about it.
It was two fundraisers. There was
yeah.
a, the garden was initially a design that I just put up there and sat there for about 5 years.
Yeah,
people said, hey, let's do that thing.
You
drew
it one day when
you
were sick. Yeah.
Well, actually, it was something I thought about before we even moved to the building when
right.
I just saw the space. And so we did that, and they were massage fundraisers.
That's right, massage
fundraisers. There was a group of massage therapists
right.
who weren't even members, but they were connected with Al Borz, and they were like, we want to make this happen. So they did this twice, where they set up massage stations here. There was like one back there. I think they put a divider here. There were two here and one there. And it was like massages going on all day and all this money. Anyway, they raised $1,500, and then they did that twice. So it was like $3,000.
So Bob, I'm sorry, we're kind of running out of time. We won't get through the questions.
So, yeah. But you're about right on those numbers.
Next question was, how much did the fence and gate cost? And we think it's about $6,000.
Right.
It's not quite
all
the bills
are
in. And initially, the estimate was half that, and the board signed off on that. So we were a bit taken aback when it got so high. And we take responsibility that we didn't put any higher limit on it or request a written estimate or anything like that. So we learned a lot from that, and we are developing a procedure and policy for large projects for the future to be sure that we have a little better project control over that. But the fence has turned out beautifully, and the gate is beautiful, and I think it's very impressive, and I think it will greatly enhance our garden once we get our garden going better. So.
And I think it's also important just to point out that the design that Bob did is beautiful, yes, but it's also basically, you know, sort of like the Berlin Wall of Zen fences, and it's very, very strong, and it's intentionally done that way for both the wind, which can be considerable here, and because it is to prevent the problem we were having with unintended guests and security issues for both us and the people other people who use the hall. So there is an added a bit of expense there, because it's not just a beauty fence; it's there so that it's pretty strong.
Okay. Next question: how many volunteer hours were taken away from basic red cedar maintenance? Now, I know Bob donated hours as well as got paid for some of them, and Scott donated all of his hours, and I don't know how many those were, but I don't know how we can capture that, but if you have a ballpark, that's...
What's the question?
The question was, how many volunteer hours were taken away from basic red cedar maintenance?
Yeah, I've thought a little about that question, and it doesn't actually make sense to me, the question.
Makes sense.
Because it's not like we have a sort of pool of labor that we're assigning like a business would, because people show up and do what they care, you know, what they are passionate about. So I don't know that that's... I guess my answer is zero.
Okay.
Yeah.
At what board meetings were these projects approved? And looking at back through the minutes, we started talking about the need for something to help with the problem that uninvited visitors to our backyard. And that was back in September, 2015, October, November, and I think our decision to build the fence and gate was in December.
Right.
And we talk about it. So in all of those minutes, we were working toward that.
Yeah, with some urgency.
With some urgency, just to say a little more clearly what happened if you weren't around or focused on this then. So in the summer, we started some people without homes were starting to sleep in the backyard, and it was tricky, and it was really hard how to think about that. And we had a whole gamut of views, and many of us switched our views as we went along, that, you know, we wanted to provide help to people, and you know, there was a power outlet that cell phones were being charged on. I remember Ken, you said a wise thing about that. Well, yeah, you gotta charge your cell phone. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. But the tipping point, actually, where it really crystallized was sometime late in the summer, early in the fall, we found both intravenous drug paraphernalia and quite a long knife in the backyard. And then it was like, well, it may be some people are sleeping here who are, you know, peaceful and not a threat, but it's just not safe for the Sangha, you know, if that's what's happening. So that really crystallized it. And the October minutes said that quite clearly, requested input from the Sangha. And the November minutes said, well, we didn't really get any input, so we're going ahead. So it's all kind of documented there for anybody's curious.
And to be clear about not the fence, but the garden, labor-wise, was all volunteer.
Next question. When were projects brought before the Sangha? The project of the garden, I think, was brought. The garden is at least four years old. I think, I'm sure we talked about it because we got volunteers to help with it and so forth. We didn't call a special meeting about the fence and gate. We publicized it in the minutes, but we didn't get anyone asked for input if people wanted it, but we didn't get any. But I think this is another learning, is that we want to make everyone aware that you can get the minutes easily through the website, and also you can attend the meetings if you want to, open meetings. So please feel free, everyone, and encourage your colleagues to be aware that you have access to all the same information and input to it as well.
And then we have a rotating leadership, so, rotate in and rotate out again.
Now, another good question. Have the board and Sangha considered how much money is feasible to invest in a rental property? And we did talk about that as a board, and we do think about that we've put in $6,000 to something that we're not permanently, we don't own this property, and I don't know if we have an answer to that question. It is a good, serious question.
Take it with us.
We might do that. I don't know. But I just don't know how to answer that question. Does anyone else know how to?
Well, I would point out that we also just signed a 5-year lease.
Yeah.
Okay, so I mean, this is a rental home, but it's a long-term rental home.
Yeah. And so the tail end of 8 years of leasing, so it's 13 years.
Yeah, so I think that it's important to view that in the time scale, that, I mean, the fence was a necessary thing, and it's beautiful, and the garden creates a much better atmosphere for our collective spiritual home. So we're going to be here for another 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that you can sort of amortize that cost over the 5-year period in the financing question.
And when we moved here originally, and then when our first lease came up, we also did a very extensive search of Bellingham, looking at many, many different properties. And it's actually like there's not many that would work for our use. This is more or less it. And an unfortunate circumstance of the way the property is owned and legally defined is that this is not an independent property, this building. It's part of the whole corner block that includes two rental houses in the Majestic. So it's unknown whether we'll ever be able to buy it without buying the Majestic too.
Well, we have some money in the bank.
So the answer to that is no.
I'm not gonna know.
We've got some great parties there.
Yeah, that's a great property.
Yeah. it seems to me that this property really suits our needs. And having been here through quite a long period of time and where we went through long periods of time of assessing what are our needs, what kind of property we have and everything, this is really meeting the needs that we laid out a long time ago. And our needs have changed maybe to some degree in terms of our membership has grown some, but we're still well within the capacity of this space, and I don't think we're really, maybe 5 years from now we'll be at a place where we can say, this isn't meeting our needs anymore, but it certainly seems like it's meeting our needs right now. So,
can we move on so that we can clear out here? The last question on this series was, why is Red Cedar responsible for any of the plumbing infrastructure failures? And Tim mentioned it at the beginning, but this is a commercial lease in which, as far as we understand it, we do take responsibility for flushing whatever goes down. But as this turns out, it's something that's beyond our flushing. It's underground or and the piping and so forth, and so we're still investigating that. And again, you can come and see the film on the sewer. And we'll be doing it on a Wednesday night, probably not next week, but maybe the following week. And Bob will be narrating. And
Will popcorn be provided?
Pardon me? Popcorn? No, I don't think so. You have to be no freshness. But anyway, we will be talking with the landlord about this and hopefully setting a course where if we have backups like we did before, then we'll be able to, he'll be able to step in and help and solve the problem and perhaps do some underground reconstruction if that's necessary in the future.
Yeah.
But for now, we're doing the toilet paper and the that we described and so forth. And in order to get rid of the two-ply toilet paper supply that we have, I've removed it from the supply room and it's in the library, and you can get a roll of toilet paper for 25 cents a shot as a donation to the general fund. So it's right there on the market. And if you can't afford 25 cents a roll, you can donate.
And feel free to give a little bit more because market value is higher.
Anyway, we do need to get it out of the building so somebody doesn't inadvertently clog up the toilet. This has become an obsession.
Literally.
No kidding. Sorry. So any further remarks in our a few minutes before we must leave?
Well, yeah, it's really open the floor. There's a few of us that have spoken.
Any other topics, too?
Well, I'm just wondering if there's some advantage to getting some legal counsel.
That's happening. Yeah,
oh,
that's happening.
Yeah. We're getting an inter-reading on the lease.
Yeah. I'm a total newcomer, so this may be just very off base, but I'm as a total newcomer, I'm interested in someone posting a list of concerns like this anonymously. And I'm wondering if there's anything in there for us to consider as a community. And you know, one thing that is kind of an obvious question to ask, is there anything about how we communicate what's happening and how decisions are being made that could be improved? The minutes are available and people might know that they can go on, but if there's a particular issue that's up, is that ever something that we specifically say, hey, you might want to look at the minutes this month? Or is there, I'm just wondering how
nudge,
the communication
yeah.
works, and if this is any sign mm-hmm. of one person in particular who had a concern or something deeper than that
yeah.
that we want to talk about.
Good question. Yeah.
I was almost exactly the same, but from a slightly different thing. I mean, I've been here for about 3 years and just become a board member, and I can tell you that none of the board members are scary people, and they are all available for discussion and questions and answers. If you miss and you don't want to read the minutes, you can talk to a board member and they will give you an answer, and they will refer you to the minutes if they can't remember. So there should be free communication, and I also think that we maybe ought to publish rather than a link to the minutes, we probably ought to just email the minutes.
Don't we have a
they're
copy
not that
those?
Long.
There's a copy posted downstairs.
As well. Yeah.
As well.
And so I mean, I think, but there's probably people, I mean, I didn't know that until you just told me. So I do think, though, that maybe if we email everybody the actual minutes rather than the, you know, here's a link if you want to go back and look, but
mm-hmm.
here are the minutes. I mean, they're only a page long anyway.
Mm-hmm. It's often helpful to have multiple ways of communicating the same
mm-hmm.
thing when it's important.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Wondering, I wanted to piggyback on the last two comments. I was wondering if the next conflict resolution discussion or exercises might also bring up the appropriateness or the just, you know, the problem with posting things anonymously and the importance of open communication.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that came up in conflict resolution, at least this communication part.
Mm. Yeah, well, we hadn't talked about that, no. But
oh, you did. Okay.
No, and kind of similar ideas have come up at retreats where, you know, we're mostly silent, but then we're communicating important information with notes, and we've had a few times where someone usually was critical, you know,
mm-hmm.
an honest note, and so upsetting, you know, so
mm-hmm.
undermining,
oh, I remember.
And so tragic, you know, and on both sides, you know, whoever posted that must be in some difficulty of some kind, you know.
So yeah, we were a little upset by this stuff, actually, you know, so I'm glad that you brought that up. And
was this not, I don't think I quite understood, but posting, was this like a physical?
Yeah, they're little teeny, like tiny little type, they're this big, and there are about six of them posted on different bullet boards and left on different tables all around
all
the
same.
Window. And I actually collected them up because I thought, well, that's confusing for other other users, especially,
yeah.
You know. But we were wanted to be sure to address it today, so... So yeah, we felt concerned about, well, how can we, is there any way that we can make communication more accessible, more open, more friendly? You know, or was somebody just upset that day? You know, who knows? You know?
And I feel those are legitimate questions.
They're good questions.
So I'm happy that they came up.
Yeah, I'm glad they came up, but I was not happy with the way they were.
The way.
That hurt my feelings, actually.
Yeah,
the tone is accusatory.
It is, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think having been around here for the last 15 years or so, I think the note does not say a whole lot about us. It says more about the person who left the note.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that the person is, I'm not saying anything about the person, because I don't know who it was, but it just... a distance.
Yeah.
I feel a strong sense of separation between us as a group and someone who needs to write this note, and I wish that we could address that separation more than the note, because the note is a symptom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, and that has been our whole focus in a way, so... Just encouragement to keep working.
And certainly we'll talk more about what to do. Thanks for the ideas.
Sorry, a quick question. Are minutes to tonight's meeting being taken so that the answers to the questions can be disseminated more broadly than this conversation?
I'm making an attempt at doing this, but I don't think it will be an adequate attempt.
Yeah.
But
it's difficult because we had good answers to the questions.
Well, let me now mention, and I was going to ask permission before I did anything with this, but I just recorded all this.
Ah.
So there's an audio record. Is there anything that was said that anyone would be uncomfortable sharing in a recording? You can let me know if you think of something. So, if someone's willing to sit there and listen to 2 hours of... all their answers will be there. I hope. Hopefully the microphone picked this up. I put it on an auto game.
And 72% of people...
And also we can... If someone can collect all these... handouts electronically and get them to somebody on the technology committee. Talos is usually quite happy to post things. We can post all these handouts, which is 90% of what we said. So handouts, that's great. What great handouts.
If you were going to try to do a written minutes, I'd be willing to add to whatever you've got, because I've been taking notes too.
Okay.
And maybe we could have a third person.
Chris? Would you like to review the notes then?
Sure.
Chris.
And as always, we got so busy with business, but is there anything that's else, even if we don't have a lot of time to talk about it, is there anything else that's alive for you?
Thank you to all the people who put all this information together. That's a lot of work. And thank you.
We really look like an organized outfit, don't we?
And we are.
We are.
So, toilet paper on sale. But first, the refuges.
Let's quickly put the Zeno back in order before we do the refuges.